Light flickers and dances between a mass of gently revolving glass prisms, sending them, in turns, aquamarine, crimson, and a myriad different colors. Then finally illuminating the words, Studio Canal. Animated horses gallop in darkness, their pounding hooves raising clouds of dust. Out of the dust forms the logo, LD Entertainment. A point of view speeds down a red road towards a city. The road becomes large red letters, L Driver. Liddell Entertainment and L Driver present, in association with Silverwood Films, an L Driver, Eye for an Eye, Filmworks, Tazora Films production. The wording fades into darkness. A Chris Kentis and Laura Lau film. The title emerges slowly from darkness. Silent House. Seen from directly above, a woman sits on a rock with water lapping around it. She hugs her knees, then stretches out her legs. The young woman gets to her feet. She climbs carefully down from her perch and walks slowly along the damp rocks. Holding her arms out for balance, she jumps from one rock to another, then puts her hands back in her overcoat pockets and mounts stone steps. The view across the calm water shows a wooded shore, possibly an island, with more coastlines in the distance. The young woman moves slowly and thoughtfully. The woman brushes wild shrubs with a trailing hand as she walks and approaches a house. A 4x4 pulls into the curving driveway. The house stands alone in woodland, its windows boarded up, and sports a large porch supported by columns. A man gets out of the car.
Hey, sweetie.
Hey, Dad.
She approaches him as he retrieves shopping from the boot of the car.
I hit the internet cafe. You know how many emails I had in my box? 83.
Oh, you're a popular guy.
Very. Of course, 60 of them were ads trying to get me to buy something. Sarah, did you leave these tools on the ground?
I might have.
Let's get them in the bag and bring them in the house, please. We don't want it to rain on them.
Sarah puts the gardening tools into a bag.
Oh, I checked your Facebook page. What's his name wrote on your wall again?
God, I should never have added you. Yeah, he, wants to get back together.
Of course he does. Told you. Princess, he doesn't deserve you.
Sarah holds her tongue, and they mount the steps to the porch. A younger guy with a beard opens the door.
There you are. There you are.
Here I am.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we have a problem.
I've barely been gone an hour. What now?
You'll see.
Great. Do I have to?
Yeah. Hey, I was looking for you. Did you go into town?
Mm-mm.
I didn't think so. Where were you?
Outside.
Yeah, working very hard on the garden. You have a garden?
No, I had a headache.
Haven't you heard that one before?
I did.
I know, honey.
You all better know.
Yes. Thank you, Uncle Peter.
So, what is this big problem?
All right. This way.
They have battery-powered lanterns.
Why can't you just tell me about it?
No, this is something you have to see.
The younger man leads the way through to a utility room.
I'll give you a hint. It's in here. Fine. What do you think?
The father switches off the radio.
How are you supposed to tell anything from that?
You need binoculars, old man? Just get your face up there. Look in there.
Okay. The father picks up a sledgehammer.
This really, is this necessary?
I made a hole. What are you...
Are you impressed with your dad?
Nah.
I'm impressed with your dad.
That little brother is a hole.
Nicely done.
The father shines a torch in a hole in the wall.
That is not good.
Nope, not good.
What is it?
Oh, it's mold. Honey, you know what? I want you to stand back. This is really bad. I don't want you breathing. It can make you really sick.
Just looking at it's making me sick. This whole house could be infected for all we know.
Affected, not infected.
Affected, infected, whatever.
Well, you know, if you cover it up, we'll never know, right?
That's true. Just a minute ago, we had a tiny hole to deal with. Now we have a big hole.
Well, insurance will cover it. I mean, it's obviously part of the leak. Did you remember to bring the, great minds think alike.
The father takes a Polaroid of the hole.
So, what do you want to do?
Why are you asking me?
We're out of here in a few days. Oh, okay. See here? This is where it gets tricky. When I dump this whole thing on me. But it comes with the perk of you not being here, so dare I complain?
Well, that's what you do best.
All right, I'll deal with it. Just don't give me shit later when you find out how.
Well, if you do it right the first time, I won't have to. Now, have you checked the wall all the way down to the basement?
I just figured out that it got down here.
Okay, come on.
Bring a work light, please.
The younger guy shakes his head in frustration.
Have fun.
Grinning, Sarah walks out, carrying her lantern. The younger guy sneaks up behind her.
Uncle Peter, don't do that!
Come on, you used to love that when you were a little girl.
Good day now!
I'm coming!
Peter picks up a powerful work light, then turns towards Sarah.
How are you, Sarah?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, how are you?
Look at you. Can't get over how grown up you are.
You gonna come down here or what?
Bite me! See you later.
Peter leaves Sarah and heads down a hallway towards the stairs to the basement. Holding her lantern, Sarah heads upstairs. She stops and looks around, puzzled by the noise. Looking around anxiously, she comes downstairs and goes to the front door. She opens it to a slim, dark-haired woman.
Sarah?
Yeah?
Wow, I can't believe you're here.
She hugs Sarah, who keeps her arms stiffly by her sides, and smiles awkwardly.
You don't remember me, do you?
I'm so embarrassed.
I'm Sophia. We used to play together.
Oh, of course. Yeah. How are you?
I'm quite good, actually, especially now that I'm finding you here. Why is it so dark in here?
Oh, the power's out. My dad thinks rats chew through the wires. I'd invite you in, but there's really no place to hang or anything.
That's okay, I can't stay long anyways.
Sophia wanders off along the porch.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Sarah smiles uncertainly and follows her.
How long's it been since you were out here?
A long time, years.
I come by once in a while and I've seen other people here, but never you.
Yeah, other family come out now and then, but no one's really been here this last summer. But except for the people who keep breaking in and messing the place up.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, they broke almost all our windows. My uncle had to call the police to run them off. And...
So what are you doing here now?
I'm fixing it up. I'm gonna sell it.
That's too bad. And aside from selling this house, what are you up to?
Nothing much.
You're in school or something, or?
No, me and school don't really go together. But I'm working for my dad and thinking about doing something else.
Yeah, it's tough getting any kind of job these days.
Sarah nods.
There's so many things I want to do, but
I never seem to be able to do any of them.
Can you believe how long it's been? Remember when we used to play dress up and do makeovers?
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's been so long, I swear. Sometimes, yeah, I think I have holes up here. I have a pile of photos around somewhere. I'll have to find them. Yeah.
Sarah nods uncertainly.
Who's had the best hair?
Sarah reacts awkwardly as Sophia reaches out and touches her hair.
So, how long are you around for?
We've already been here a couple days. My dad thinks we're gonna head out soon.
Really? Well, you maybe want to hang out later?
Yeah, that could be good. The phone lines aren't set up, though, and our cells don't work up here.
It's okay, I'll just come by later.
Okay.
I didn't know if I'd ever see you again.
So good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you, too.
I'll see you later.
Sarah's taken aback as Sophia hugs her again, then goes.
You know, I do remember you.
Well, how could you forget? See you later.
Sophia smiles at Sarah, then pedals off on her bicycle. Sarah goes back indoors and picks up her lantern. She closes the front door. Sarah takes a key from a hook on the doorframe and locks it. She looks ahead warily as she advances into the house. Then puts down her lantern and takes two oil lamps from the mantelpiece of a large fireplace. She takes the glass covers off the lamps, turns the valves, and lights the wicks with a match. Sarah shakes out the match and makes sure it's extinguished by dabbing it on her tongue. She places the glass back on the lamps and adjusts the flames. Sarah places one of the lamps on the mantelpiece and leaves the other on the table. She picks up her battery lantern and walks down the hall to light a candle on a table near the foot of the stairs. She smiles as she applies the match flame to the wick. Sarah shakes out the match and sniffs the smoke. Standing in front of a mirror on the wall behind the table, she listens to Peter and her father squabbling.
Whoops. Can I have the keys to my car, please? You know where they are. Give me the keys.
When you're done with your temper tantrum, see if you can get the electrician on the phone, please.
That would be awesome. If you could come out here, we could use his needle-nose pliers to get that stick out of your ass.
What was that?
I love you, brother.
Sarah grins as her uncle slams out. John approaches her.
I don't know why my brother always has to make everything so difficult.
Yeah, when he doesn't do what you want him to.
Exactly. You see, if everyone would just do what I say, we wouldn't have any problems. Would we?
Uh-huh. Do you need any help down there?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Sarah picks up her lantern and walks into a room off the main hallway. She picks up a carrier bag and places it on a wooden bar, then takes off her coat and scarf. She attaches a crocodile clip to the terminal of a car battery, and a light comes on. There are wrapping materials, some items in bubble wrap, food remnants, a glass and some sauce bottles on the bar. Sarah takes a bottle of beer from a cool box, opens it, and takes a sip. Sarah goes to investigate the knocking. She picks up her lantern, goes back out into the hall, and unlocks the front door. She prepares a welcoming smile as she opens the door, then looks confused, and steps outside, pulling her cardigan around her. She looks around the empty porch, then comes back inside. Sarah locks the front door and hangs the key back on its hook. She picks up her lantern, then looks up in alarm.
Hey. What are you doing?
I just thought I heard something upstairs.
It's probably the damn rats.
God, don't remind me. No, it sounded like someone was up there.
Maybe it's your uncle.
No, his car's not here.
I know how you think, sweetie. Would you like me to go upstairs and have a look?
Yeah.
Okay.
John smiles indulgently and heads off upstairs, pausing to glance back over his shoulder at Sarah. Sarah waits at the bottom of the stairs.
Wait, I'm gonna come with you.
She hurries up the stairs, holding her lantern high to shed the most possible light. Eyes wide, she reaches the upper landing and follows her father into a bedroom. John goes into an ensuite bathroom, and Sarah goes back out onto the landing.
Did I get you?
Yeah, you did, and that hurt.
I'm sorry.
As he burst out of the bathroom, the door bashed Sarah on the elbow.
Were you trying to be funny?
A little bit.
John leads the way into another room at the other end of the hall. He walks down a narrow, connecting passage, holds up his lantern, and looks in a cupboard. He closes the door, smiles and shakes his head, then finds some Polaroids on a pillow.
What's that?
It's just nothing. It's like photographs for the insurance. I don't know why your uncle just leaves things laying around like this. Ridiculous.
He puts the photos in a bag, zipping it closed. He stands by the bed, waiting for Sarah to walk out of the room past him. John closes the door behind him as they leave, and accidentally knocks Sarah's shoulder with his lantern.
Sorry.
John opens a door and looks inside, then leads the way into another room.
Man, you're gonna really have to start making some progress in this room. You haven't even started on this closet?
Most of it isn't mine.
So what, it's just gonna stay here? What are you doing in here?
Sarah stares around the room.
I don't know if you got the fact that we're packing it up to get out.
Yes, I do understand that.
And that box is completely empty.
He strides into the bathroom and looks in the bath, pulling back the colorful shower curtain.
If your cousins don't want to help out, just keep what you want and throw everything else out.
Okay.
At least that's empty.
Wait, but what about the noise?
Honey, it's an old house. They make noises. But I'm sure it's nothing. But I'll keep looking around, okay?
Thank you.
I want you to sit down, go through that stuff, and start throwing things away. I want to come back here and see full garbage bags.
All right.
You hear me?
Yes.
All right. I'll be right back.
Sarah glances at her lantern, looks around expressionlessly, then crosses the room and fiddles with some items on a desk. Sarah goes back to the bed, puts the lantern on the bedside table, sits, and opens up a large black bin bag. She stuffs items into the bag, including a bright pink shiny handbag and a pink gauze skirt. Sarah examines a red cash box. She tries to open it, but it's locked. She shoves it into the bin bag.
Daddy?
Yeah?
What's going on?
Nothing's going on. What's going on in there? Are you packing?
Yeah, I'm throwing stuff out.
Good. That's what I want to hear.
The point of view pans around the dimly lit bedroom, past shelves with a few items on, and into a dark corner. The point of view moves back along the wall with the shelves on.
Dad?
Sarah's eyes widen in genuine fear. She goes to the bedroom door and opens it slowly.
Daddy?
Sarah holds up the lamp to see into the hall and advances slowly. Turning down the passage where the noise seemed to come from, towards the room at the end. Sarah gingerly opens the door to the room at the end of the passage and enters. She walks around a mountain of boxes in the middle of the room, then pauses, looking and listening, before moving on. Sarah walks through the shadowy rooms, full of the clutter generated by packing up a property. She peers into an empty cupboard and closes the door, then moves on. Sarah stops and stares down at the floor, bending down to bring the light closer, illuminating a broken chair leg. She nervously tucks her shoulder-length hair behind her ear.
Daddy?
Sarah exhales slowly, keeping her nerves under control. She turns slowly, then jumps, at her own reflection in a full-length mirror. Pale and tense, Sarah moves on. She goes into another bedroom. Apart from a four-poster bed, it's empty. She comes back out. The bedroom door slams shut behind her, and Sarah drops her lantern. She leaves it and rushes down the stairs. Sarah dashes to the front door and tries to pull it open. She remembers the key, but it's not on the hook. She runs off, stopping to listen, before heading for the back room with the hole in the wall. Sarah throws boxes aside to reach the back door and wrestles with a padlock, tugging desperately at the handle to no avail. She gives up and gets her breathing under control. Sarah searches through kitchen drawers and finds another lantern. She searches on a shelf. And fails to notice a man standing in the room next door. Sarah gives up looking for keys and goes into the room where the man was standing. He's gone. She goes to a window which is boarded up and tries to pull the wood away from the frame. There's plastic sheeting where the glass should be and another board on the outside of the window. She rips the plastic aside and tries frantically to move either the inner or outer boards. Sarah tries another window, pushing and hitting the boards with both hands, but making no headway. Clutching the lantern, Sarah holds her breath and walks slowly into the next room, a dining room. In a panic, Sarah pulls out a chair and gets under the dining table. A bottle rolls across the floor and comes to rest against the leg of the chair next to Sarah, then rolls back and forth. Sarah pulls the chair back into its place at the table. A pair of boots stop right next to Sarah's hiding place. The owner picks up the bottle, and Sarah tries to stifle sobs of terror. The boot wearer walks away, and Sarah tries to get her breathing under control. She looks around from her hiding place, thinking hard and listening. She turns around slowly, and a hand grabs her leg. Sarah runs for it, fleeing upstairs. She runs into a room and bolts the door. She thinks for a moment, then struggles to shove a heavy chest of drawers in front of the door. Sarah moves away from the door and slowly gets her breathing under control. Sarah scans the shadowy room. She stands hunched and tense, turning uncertainly on the spot. Sarah crosses the room and tries to open one window, then another. There's one more window. Sarah goes to it, but like the others, it won't open and is boarded over on the outside. She finds a lantern and switches it on. Holding up the light, Sarah looks thoughtfully round the room. She opens a cupboard, then closes it again. As she struggles with a window, a rolled-up carpet leaning against a wall falls on her, and with it, a body. Sarah scrambles away, shrinking into a corner, a blood stain on her white vest. Sarah sits in the corner and stares. Sarah crawls out from her corner and across the wooden floor to the body. It's her father, John. She's not sure what to do, and reaches for the lantern to get a better look at him. She puts down the lantern and cradles her father's face in her hands. There's a wound by John's left eye. Sarah shakes him. Sarah's right hand is covered in blood. She wipes her hands on her skirt, then searches John's trouser pockets. He stirs as she searches. Sarah picks up something that has fallen out of John's pocket, then kneels staring at him in the pale lantern light. Sarah gets to her feet and shuffles slowly across the room, then looks back over her shoulder at her father. She goes to the chest of drawers across the door, places the lantern in a box on the top of the unit, and gathers her strength. She pushes the heavy chest of drawers away from the door. Sarah picks up her lantern, approaches the door, and unhooks the latch, being as quiet as she can. She switches off the lantern. Sarah opens the door. It's pitch black out in the hall. Sarah advances cautiously, hurries past a lamp illuminating an alcove, and goes downstairs. Sarah tiptoes through the house, avoiding the hall, and switches on the lantern as she dashes to the back door. She struggles to put the key into the padlock securing the glass-paned door. It doesn't fit, and she pulls at the padlock in frustration, weeping silently. Sarah pulls herself together and examines the key. She finds a torch on a sideboard and takes it in favour of the lantern. Her vest and cardigan stained with blood, Sarah walks back through the house and heads for the stairs down to the basement. Concentrating on staying calm, Sarah eases open the door at the top of the basement stairs. Rigid with fear, Sarah stands at the top of the basement stairs. She descends slowly, keeping the torch beam pointed at the ceiling, then shines the torch around as she reaches the bottom of the stairs. Sarah whirls round in terror, then continues to explore the basement, which consists of several rooms. One of them contains a large tangle of electrical cable and a workbench. Pipes plunge down through a hole in the floor, and a bucket captures drips of filthy water. Sarah slowly advances along a walkway with metal handrails and along dark, winding passages. She arrives in a small room containing a child's bed with a pink blanket and a painted wooden chest. Sarah retraces her steps and arrives at a door that won't open. She tries the handle, then gives up and moves on. Up ahead appears the beam from another torch. Panic-stricken, Sarah turns tail and switches off her own light. The intruder's torch beam comes closer, and Sarah holds her breath, grimacing in terror. Sarah struggles not to cry out, biting her own hand in anguish. It's almost too much to bear as the torchlight gets closer and closer to Sarah's hiding place. The light moves away again, and Sarah is left in the dark. Sarah switches on her torch and proceeds through the basement passages. She gets back to the main set of rooms. Hearing the intruder returning, Sarah runs in panic. Reaching a dead end, she clutches her head close to complete hysterics, but finds a door. She opens it and stumbles into a small room with another set of doors. Double steel doors secured with a padlock. She fumbles her key into the lock. Sarah drops the key, picks it up, and attacks the padlock again. Sarah shoves the key into the padlock, turns it, and with a last desperate pull, the padlock opens. Sarah blunders through the doors, then is outside and running through the woods towards the lake. She stumbles, falls, and picks herself up. The sun is setting, staining the sky pink, as Sarah charges through undergrowth, runs across a lane, then stops and hides behind a tree. Sarah sets off again, falls, then runs on, across rough grassland. Sarah charges through the scrub, her face twisted with fear and effort, her vest and cardigan stained with her father's blood. She runs onto a road, stops, absolutely exhausted, and takes in her surroundings. She's down the lane from the house. The pale figure of a young girl stands a short distance away. Sarah Nelly gets run over. Behind her, the girl has gone. Sarah gets into the car and throws her arms around her uncle.
Sarah, what are you doing out here? Why aren't you back at the house?
Hey, Sarah. It's okay. Hey, what's going on? Sarah, tell me what's going on. What's going on,
Daddy?
You have blood all over you. What is going on, Sarah? Sarah, who hurt your dad? Somebody was back at the house? Who?
It was just a girl.
Girl? I don't see any girl, Sarah. You gotta tell me what's going on so I can help you. What is going on? Where is your dad?
He's in the room on the floor.
Is he back at the house? Okay.
Hey, where are you going?
To get your dad.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Uncle Peter, we need to go get help.
If your dad is hurt, we need to help him right now. We don't have any time to go back into town, Sarah. Tell me how many people you saw back at the house. Just give me an idea. One, two, three. Tell me what I'm dealing with here.
There was one man.
Back at the house?
And then there was just a girl by the road.
Jesus, goddamn squatters.
Please, stop.
It's okay, Sarah. I'm not gonna let anyone hurt you.
I don't want to be
here. Come on, calm down.
Peter takes hold of Sarah's left hand and examines it. She's bleeding.
Your wrist is bleeding. We'll tie this up first. I got some. Here, come here. Ah, sorry. Sorry, I know that hurts. All right, just put pressure on that. Hold on to it, Sarah, honey. It's gonna be okay, all right?
Where are you going?
I'm gonna get your dad. Just stay in the car.
What are you doing?
I'm getting my gun.
You can't leave me alone.
I'm gonna be right
here.
Back. Just stay in the car,
no.
Sarah.
With an automatic in one hand and a torch in the other, Peter goes up the steps to the porch, unlocks the front door, and goes inside. Sarah clutches her injured wrist, her shoulders heaving, and tries to compose herself. As she pulls her hair back out of her face, Sarah glances towards the rearview mirror and an illuminated display that says, "Liftgate open." She turns slowly and looks back into the dark rear of the 4x4. Seeing nothing, but with mounting terror, Sarah turns back round slowly to face the front. Looking to her right, she notices that the front door is open, and a torch beam is moving around in the hall. It's getting darker, and night is closing in. As Sarah stares out of the passenger window, above her, the sunroof slides open. Sarah whirls around, looking towards the back of the car, and still sees nothing, but is close to complete hysteria as she turns again in her seat. There's a figure in the rearview mirror. Sarah fumbles with the handle, dives out of the car, and sprints up the steps into the house. She slams the door and frantically turns the key in the lock. Sarah backs away from the front door, then turns around.
Uncle Peter!
Her face a tearful mask of horror, Sarah looks back at the front door, then walks slowly into the house.
Uncle Peter!
Sarah walks into a living area, bends down, and picks something up. The point of view remains out in the hall, panning along the wall past the large fireplace. Boxes are piled up in front of a door. The point of view moves past the boxes and into the room where Sarah now is. There are packing boxes, a sofa, chairs, and a piano. As she moves past the keyboard clutching a blade, a light blazes on and a figure grabs hold of her.
Jesus, Sarah! What are you doing? I told you to stay in the car!
I left the trunk open!
No, I didn't! I closed the trunk!
Someone got in the car!
What?
With a frown, Peter strides back out into the hall, towards the front door.
No, you can't open it. I locked him out. No.
Do you have my key?
Yeah, I'm not giving
it. Give me the key, Sarah.
I'm not going to give it to you. Please, don't. I don't want to. I don't want to go out there.
Okay. Still holding the gun and torch, Peter hugs his niece.
Sorry about before, I didn't know. You're right. You sure? Can you show me exactly where you last saw your father? I looked around, I didn't see anybody. I looked quick, but here, take this.
He hands her a lantern.
How's your wrist?
It's okay.
All right, we're sticking together now.
What if he gets in the basement?
Forget about it. We're gonna get your dad. We're gonna get out of here. Get right behind me. Come on. Come on.
Peter heads upstairs with Sarah clutching the back of his jacket. She looks behind them, scanning the hall.
John?
They move slowly, the big maglite torch beam probing the darkness, casting light and shadows. They reach the top of the stairs. The bathroom door is open, but other doors are shut. Peter moves along the landing. He points the torch down at a dropped lantern that is still on, then, bracing himself, opens a bedroom door.
John?
He wasn't in that room.
It's the room with the four-poster. Peter stands in the middle of the floor and slowly sweeps the torch beam around.
Where was he?
He was in there.
Okay. Let's look again.
Sarah points to the room down the passage, on the opposite side of the landing. Peter again takes the lead. Peter shines the torch around the packing clutter, picking out a stack of paintings leaning against a wall. Sarah crawls over to the fallen roll of carpet where her father was lying. He's no longer there, but there is a large bloodstain on the wooden floor.
He was right here.
Peter kneels and shines the torch on the blood.
Oh, Jesus.
They both sit in shock, and Peter sweeps the torch beam around the room.
Sarah, how was your father when you last left him? Could he have gotten up? Could he have moved somewhere?
She shakes her head.
I can't see how.
Okay, well, maybe he, yeah, maybe he came too.
Peter gets up and steps over the blood. Sarah remains sitting tearfully on the floor, her lantern casting a pale pool of light. Sarah looks at her father's blood and sobs quietly. Sarah stops crying and looks around anxiously.
Uncle Peter?
Over here.
Sarah picks up her lantern and goes to join him, moving around a stack of boxes and furniture in the middle of the room. She walks out of the room and down the passage back towards the landing.
I don't think there's anybody on this floor.
As Sarah holds up her lamp and looks into a room, Peter bends down and picks something up. Peter stuffs some Polaroids into his pocket and picks up a large black bin bag. He puts the bag in a bedroom, then shines the torch around the room before closing the door.
Did you check upstairs?
Quickly, let's look again.
He looks nervous as he leads the way to the narrow staircase up to the top floor. Peter holds Sarah's hand as they climb the stairs, slowly, to the smaller top-floor landing. As Peter leads the way towards the rooms, Sarah looks back down the stairs then grabs him. Peter prepares to enter a room and gets out his pistol. A light's on.
That wasn't on before.
The point of view leads the way into the room. There's a pool table, and a sheet of white plastic hanging the length of the room from floor to ceiling. Peter shines the torch, gripping his pistol in his left hand. Peter approaches the plastic curtain and gestures for Sarah to stay back. Peter sweeps the plastic aside, revealing a wall with holes in it, and a small portable generator powering the light. Peter moves around in silhouette behind the curtain of white plastic. Sarah follows him in, looks around, then comes out again. Peter follows. Sarah leans against the pool table, a lantern and the Polaroid camera in front of her. She nods her head, coming to terms with a horrific truth. Peter continues to walk slowly around the room. Then the generator goes off, and the lights go out.
Uncle Peter. Uncle Peter. Uncle Peter!
There's indistinct movement in the darkness. The room is illuminated briefly by the flash from the Polaroid, the only light Sarah can lay her hands on. She shoots again. Another flash reveals the door, then pitch darkness again. The flash reveals the little girl standing outside the room. The next shot shows only bare floor. A shaven-headed man in grey lunging towards her, his hand outstretched. A flash, and Sarah crawling on the floor. Then darkness. Sarah sits staring rigidly as the generator and the light come back on again. Hardly daring to look, out of the corner of her eye, Sarah sees a brown shoe and a stick just visible below the plastic sheet. The shoes are suede, moccasin style, beneath turned-up blue jeans, and the stick is the thick end of a pool cue. The intruder walks silently around the rug the pool table is standing on. Another person is standing by the table.
That's good. That's right. Just like that. Good. It's okay. Yeah. It's just a little game we play. Nice. Don't be shy.
Sarah sits beneath the table with her hands clamped over her ears as the Polaroid flashes. Her eyes widen at a pair of little girls' legs dangling from the pool table. The girl jumps down. She's wearing a pink gauze skirt.
That wasn't so bad. Was it?
The girl walks away with the two men.
How about a little snack now?
As the trio leave the room, Sarah frowns, afraid and puzzled. Wondering what the noise is, Sarah looks out from beneath the pool table at a body being dragged along the floor. It's Peter. Sarah weeps, stifling her sobs for fear of making a noise, and looks around desperately for a way out. She emerges from under the pool table and looks around the room. She finds Peter's gun on the floor, by a bamboo frame chair and footstool. Sarah tiptoes across the creaking floor and peers out into the passage where Peter's still being dragged by the feet. Shaking, Sarah walks out into the passage and stands in the shadows. She peeps round a corner as Peter is dragged to the top of the stairs. Sarah follows down the shadowy passage, creeping along until she can look down the stairwell, holding the gun out in front of her. Sarah starts down the stairs. She reaches the first floor landing, hesitates, then moves on tentatively. Sarah reaches the top of the next flight of stairs. Someone's coming up. The gun flashes in her hand. Sarah bolts into a room and squeezes under the bed. She looks out from her hiding place, brushing strands of hair out of her face. The young girl's hiding next to her. The girl puts a finger to her lips, then is dragged out face down by the feet. Sarah tries to stay absolutely silent and still. Sarah comes out from hiding. She fiddles with the gun, but it seems to be empty, and she throws it on the bed. A bloodstain starts to spread across the bed. Sarah backs away into a bathroom, and seen reflected in the mirror, she closes the door. Sarah leans against the door, then the light comes on. She looks around, hollow-eyed with terror, and approaches the bath. She draws back the shower curtain. The little girl is sitting in the bath, naked, playing with empty bottles. Sarah turns away. A toilet seems to be mounted on the wall, a trickle of blood oozing down the white porcelain. She turns back. The girl is still in the bath, surrounded by bottles, with blood now staining the water. Blood is pouring from the wall-mounted toilet bowl. A sledgehammer bursts through the wall next to the toilet. Sarah goes back into the bedroom. She looks up at the ceiling. It and the walls are covered with dark, putrid patches of mold. She retreats onto the dark landing, as a man and the little girl walk into the bedroom and look towards her before moving on. Sarah hurries downstairs. Her hand brushes the wall, leaving a smear of blood. She stops and screams silently, rubbing at her bloody hand. She continues down to the ground floor and clutches her head in her hands. She walks backwards, coming to the hall mirror, in which is the reflection of a figure in a red dress.
There you are.
Sophia, what are you doing?
So we had a date, didn't we?
Sophia watches calmly as Sarah rushes to the front door and searches frantically for the key.
Are you looking for this?
She places the key in Sarah's hand, then walks away.
That's not the key to this door.
It's not the way out.
Sophia walks into the living room with the piano and bar. Sarah follows. There's a flickering light inside. A fire is burning in the grate. Sarah scans the room. A figure sitting in a chair is covered with a plastic sheet. Sarah rips open the plastic. Her father's woozy, his mouth taped shut.
What did you do to him?
Not nearly enough. Daddy want his favorite drink?
Sophia holds out a glass tumbler with ice.
I think he's gonna need it.
Who are you? Why are you doing this to us?
You have trouble remembering, Sarah. You have holes up here.
Sarah shakes her head. Sophia puts down the drink and pushes the red cash box along the table.
You have the key.
Sarah stares at the box, then opens it with the key. She tearfully studies a Polaroid of a young girl with long hair. Sarah crosses to a window. Reflected in the glass is the same young girl. Sarah whips round, drops to the floor, and looks across the room, which blurs out of focus. The room comes into focus, and a figure in trousers and boots is dragging a body through the door. The body is Peter, dead or unconscious. The point of view pans up to the person dragging Peter. It's Sarah. She drops his feet, then looks from the body to Sophia in puzzlement.
Did I?
Finish what you started.
No.
Sophia hands Sarah a pair of hand shears.
Leave us alone!
Stop punishing yourself, Sarah.
Sarah slashes the open shears across Sophia's hand, then looks down. There's a cut across her own palm, and Sophia's disappeared. Sarah looks across the room, then approaches her father. She rips the tape off his mouth.
Sarah, please.
You have to be quiet. We're gonna wake up Mommy, and I'll have to punish you.
She tosses the shears on the table, then picks up her bottle of beer.
So you want to play with me now?
She sits astride him and forces the bottle into his mouth.
Why are you making such a big deal? It's just a game. Don't be such a baby.
Go.
Sarah gets off her father. Beer spills and she drops the bottle.
Please stop. Please stop. Ow, Daddy, it hurts. It hurts.
Daddy would never hurt you.
Liar! Look. Look at what you did. Look at what you did to me. How could you?
She throws the Polaroids at him and backs towards the fire, nearly tripping over Peter's legs.
Look at what you did, Sarah. Honey, you're seeing things. People that aren't there. You're making things up that didn't happen. But we can get through this, baby. You're gonna have to do what I say, okay? I can help you. But you're gonna have to untie me first. Sweetie. It's okay. It's okay. Go. That's right.
Sarah picks up the garden hand shears.
Just take it easy. Just take it easy. Okay, thank you. Just give these to me.
She cuts his hands free, then drops the shears. John cuts through the tape around his ankles. John stands and blinks his eyes woozily. Blood has dripped down the front of his grey sweater.
It's all right. It's okay. Okay.
He comforts Sarah, cradling her cheek, then slaps her viciously across the face. John unbuckles his leather belt, then takes it off.
No, Daddy.
You're making me do this, Sarah. John.
Fresh blood oozing from his head, he turns towards Peter, who's holding his hands to a stomach wound.
Just leave her alone. Leave her alone.
John picks up his belt and goes back over to Sarah.
Just shut up, Peter. Shut up. Enjoy the show, huh? Just like you always did, huh? Right, Sarah?
Let her go.
Peter's got the shears.
What's your joke?
John kicks the shears away.
You're such a loser.
Oh!
Pretending to be dead. And then you attack me?
Sarah slams the sledgehammer into John's chest.
This will be our special little secret.
Sarah swings the hammer over her head and brings it down on John, then turns to Peter.
Oh, God. Oh, God, Sarah, please. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It was so long ago. I should have stopped it. I
should have stopped.
Peter cowers away from her, holding a hand up over his face. Sarah drops the hammer. Polaroids are scattered all over the floor. The shears lie open, and blood pools thickly around John. Standing in front of the fire, Sarah eyes the two men coldly, then turns away and walks into the hall. She takes the key out of her pocket and opens the front door. The point of view looks back into the hall, to the table in front of the fireplace, and the burning oil lamps. Pale and spattered with blood, Sarah walks out of the house and down the porch steps. She looks around numbly as she walks down the lane away from the house and pulls her cardigan around her. She looks back at the house, then keeps walking. Sarah walks on, out of shot, into the night. The house stands dark and silent. Cut to black. Directed by Chris Kentis and Laura Lau. Written by Laura Lau. Produced by Agnes Montra and Laura Lau. Executive producers: Adeline Fontaine-Tessor, Eva Diedrichs, George Parswell, Lynette Howell, Mickey Liddell, Jennifer Hilton Munro, and Danny Perkins. Director of Photography, Igor Martinovich. Production designer, Rochelle Berliner. Music by Nathan Larson. Costume designer, Lynn Falconer. Casting by Kerry Barden and Paul Schnee. Silent House. Starring Elizabeth Olsen as Sarah. Adam Trees as John. Eric Sheffer-Stevens as Peter. Julia Taylor Ross as Sophia. Co-producer, Mayor Gao. Associate producers, Kristen Konvitz, Jeff Cox, and Thomas Fatone, based on a Gustavo Hernandez film, La Casa Muda, produced by Gustavo Rojo. With Adam Barnett as Stalking Man and Hayley Murphy as Little Girl. The characters and events portrayed and the names used herein are fictitious. Any similarities between them and actual persons, living or dead, or to actual events or names, is purely coincidental. This motion picture photoplay is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. Copyright 2011, Silent House Incorporated. Silent House Incorporated is the author of this title for the purposes of copyright and other laws. Further titles continue to scroll. Audio description by Deluxe. Written and voiced by Roland Behan. The End.